This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Or if you're going to provide salt lick for deer, provide them limes to suck. Provide them tequila to drink.
Come on. Deers want to get turnt too.
Yeah.
They deserve
it. Get your deer turnt.
Life is hard for a deer.
Life is hard for a deer. They need to party. And they need to party in like a tropical south of the border style.
Give a deer a Corona. Put a lime in it.
Put a lime in
yeah,
it.
We're PETA adjacent because we, you know, it's ostensibly animal rights. We are completely wrong about how they work, like PETA is, but
we're animal rights to party on this.
Yeah, exactly. Animal rights to party.
Give an octopus again? MDMA. Woo!
I feel like you don't want to be on MDMA if you are the sort of creature that can like squeeze its body through like a hole the size of a quarter. That can't go
great.
Oh
man, I've got so many hands. We've got eight of them.
All right. All right. I think we can start.
Oh, I know what Chinese is.
Spoilers. We haven't started recording.
Oh, well, that's spoiler bot. Tiny little spoiler.
I know what Jonathan is. Oh yeah, that's gonna go great.
Well, I know
that's gonna go
just
great.
Just take that whole Allie. I'm sorry, but please
so
lift
sorry
and
I interrupted
remove
Allie, please. It's still part of a cold open. You bleep it out, and now it sounds like Tyler is talking about some weird stuff. And SpoilerBot comes in there and says some very sassy things about
sassin and dassin,
as SpoilerBot is wont to do.
So this is your cold open. Boy, oh boy, the audience must be riveted. I bet they're so glad they didn't skip right to the beginning of the episode. Speaking of limes, where's my tequila? What, no party for SpoilerBot? That's just rude. Whatever, man. Let's get on with it.
As our story continues, we see clouds. Sepia tones stretch far across a wall. They are designs. These clouds are done in thick, blocky pen and ink styles with a clear artistic touch. We can see them circle the room. Beneath them, there is a precipitating display of different sailors' tattoos. There is a skyport here, and it does attract a particular type of clientele. These tattoos are not just displayed in blacks and whites, but many colors. This port being a port that refines pigments, it is quite popular to come here and pick up colors that you can find nowhere else on Sphere. The office itself is more sanitary, more bare than you would expect to find in a parlor. The art on the walls is the only art in this place. Everything else about it feels too lit, feels too sanitized, feels too lacking of personality to truly be a tattoo establishment. There are, of course, anatomical drawings and models everywhere. There is a small, low-legged table covered in what appear to be brightly colored magazines. Highlights for youngsters.
and wait, I established some magazines for this setting. Griffin Beat, a yes. Griffin Beat that is at least 8 months out of date. Griffin Fancy as well. There is a waiting room here, though many of the chairs are empty. And what staff can be seen in front of the bright white medical-looking curtains are dressed professionally, despite the fact that they do have skin showing, bearing many different colorful designs on arms, chests, and necks. When the door opens, it opens with a ring as travelers from the outside step into this establishment for the first time and find themselves amongst the inky clouds. Who's up first? Who enters first?
A very imposing shadow backlit by the daylight outside is what fills the frame, almost entirely the door frame. And as we kind of step through, we see the silhouette of a large man, the iconic tricorn hat of any legendary corsair worth their salt, the silhouette of their head obscured by thick and numerous locks, and the heavy footfalls of well-worn boots of an Arana. For this is Captain Oromar Vale, captain of the Uhuru Skyship.
Now, Nathan, I have a question for you about Oromar in this situation. We do know that right now Oromar's enemies believe that he is dead, or at least he has been missing for a year. We're now at a point in Sphere where it would be advantageous to keep a low profile. So has Oromar disguised himself in any way? How is he dressed? We know he's kept his large tricorn hat, but is there anything else different about his look?
Okay. I think we get that silhouette, the silhouette of Oromar Vale that we know. And then as he steps through into the interior light of the building, we realize that what he's wearing is different. Instead of the silhouette of his face being taken up by the locks, it's actually been done up and tied in fabric. And what is actually obscuring the shape of his face is a large fluffy collar on a coat. We are very far south in Sphere, and even though it is no longer icy, it is probably still quite cold.
Yeah, I like that.
The imposing boots are not the well-worn, rounded leather of survivalist shoes, but instead a more elegant wooden-soled boot with a higher heel, a fashion boot instead. Still leaves a very imposing clack considering the man's weight, but would look more respectable at a dining establishment, possibly a brunch.
Ooh, I like this already. Oromar steps inside. And how, looking up from the desk, there is a person in bright white clothing that shines like extremely bracingly in the light overhead. Being in an establishment that does some degree of metaphysical practice. There's always a quality to the light in these places. It brightens things too much in a way that feels ill and sickly. It is quite an adjustment to blink your way coming out from the bright sunset into a room that is equally bright, but the wrong sort of bright, and has that ambient buzz in the air that we would associate in our world with fluorescent lights. She looks up from her desk and goes, "Do you have an appointment?"
The man looks down at the receptionist, and in the harsh light of this space, it is very clear that he is wearing makeup. I don't know if anybody is listening is familiar with the art of contouring one's face to change your face shape, but it is genuinely witchcraft if you can do it right. he's shaved his beard, his cheekbones are higher and further back, his nose is slimmer, but in this light it's obviously fake. You know, if you've ever been in like a cheap like clothing changing room with the kind of light that just makes you look terrible, changing the lighting can really kind of highlight when you've kind of tried to re-sculpt. So no hiding here. Mm.
The changing the beard might be enough. Like the fact that you shaved is huge. Do you still have your mustache?
I think he's getting into the mindset of what he has to do in the future, what machinations he has in mind. It's a pencil mustache.
Wow, the curl is gone. Mm. We are in a new era. Okay.
We're also settling into the voice, I suppose. So, I'm afraid I don't have an appointment, but I do... taking a look around the room, see that you are currently not dealing with any customers. I can pay reasonable coin for an emergency procedure, should that be required.
Oh, no, we take walk-ins. I just need to mark it down on our charts if we had an appointment.
Fabulous,
I'll need you to
darling.
Fill out these forms. And she just passes over like a clipboard full of paperwork to fill out. It is... a lot of questions that are repetitive. They ask about a lot of symptoms and things that you would come in for. More information than you would ever need to possibly give for, well, just about anything they are asking for here.
As Orimar is starting to kind of like look this over, probably letting other people fill into the room, I assume that you have a... discretionary measures, what with this being a metaphysician establishment.
We're HIPAA compliant.
Marvelous. There are also a lot of questions here about skin.
Yes. Skin is our business.
Yes, but there's a lot about, like, I suppose you asking about sensitivity is quite obvious, actually, and he kind of, like, waves off that being a silly question. And goes.
Well,
to...
I'm sure you'll fill it out on your forms, but you must be from out of town.
Yes, I am indeed. And he wanders over to the table with the griffin beat and kind of like sits down and starts to fill it in.
So we can see, having followed this man into this office, were two others. Who's going to describe themselves next?
I think there is as the captain sits down and opens up Griffin Beat, we see a body pass in front of the camera and we start to pan over and we sort of pan up to see, reveal a young man kind of in... looser fitting, longer clothing, like a long sleeve shirt that is a bit thicker to account for the weather, but still it's just like an oversized sweater on him. And he is
This is like a knit, like, because we did just come from an area that had a lot of wool. Is this like a thick wool cable sweater? Love it.
And so he's looking about like the walls and I feel like there are kind of like, you know, pieces of art and like, well, does this still match up with like the sterile environment that there would be displays on the walls?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I did establish like there are art displays on the wall for sure.
So he's kind of like very wide-eyed, like huge grin on his face. This is a young black man who has hair that is kind of like drawn back into a high ponytail, underneath that he has a bandana that he's tied around his forehead. This is Jonnet Kessler, 16-year-old Star Watcher. He is very much, like, if you look on his face, his eyes are very wide. His eyebrows are, like, a little bit, like leaning, like, up. It's, like, one of those things where you're watching someone decide that they're going to do something that they're excited for, but also that they've never done before. And it's like, yeah, 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 uh-huh. And so he's like, kind of like looking at all the art, maybe running his fingers across like some like framed pieces, and maybe looks to the person behind the counter, and it's just, is there like an age limit for something like this?
There is. You do have to be 17.
That's amazing, because I am. I just turned 17.
You wouldn't be surprised. Would you be surprised to hear that I hear that a lot?
I'm sure it's something that I was told that I could finally do it on my birthday, and so we are a month out of my birthday, and I'm past due. You know, so I'll take one of these forms. And
well, before that.
John, it has reached out for the forms to that. She
places like a delicate but firm hand on those forms. We do have a test. Can you put your hand on this crystal?
John puts his hand on the crystal.
Now, before we get to the crystal, I do have a couple of questions just to sate my own curiosity about Jonnet's look right now.
Oh, yes.
Recently, Jonnet had a 16th birthday.
Yes.
Then went through a magical forest situation
that
aged his body up to 17, you know, over the matter of days, mm-hmm. because he lost a year in the Forest Queen's forest. Mm-hmm. My first question is, did Jonnet keep the length in his hair? Because your hair grew very, very quickly over the course of a couple of days. So this ponytail, how far back is it going? Or has he trimmed it to his more usual length? Or is he still experimenting with that longer hair?
I think he's experimenting with the longer hair. And he's also like, he is the ponytail is like, it's like it's loose hair that has been bunched up at the end. He's scrunchied it up tight, and then the remaining hair that is there, he's self-braided.
Okay.
And so it's not the cleanest.
Sure.
But it does kind of like touch down to like, you know, the nape of the neck, which is a considerable amount of hair, like, you know, if it were to be out. He's shaved like the extra. He still has like, he's redefined his undercut, but he does not know yet what to do with like the length on top that he normally keeps. And he's got, I think we may have been toying around with this before, but like he's got a little bit more facial hair. It's nothing to write home about, but I think, you know, if we were seeing him in like, you know, fully animated, there would be like, you know, six pieces, like six lines on his lips, and then like a couple like on his chin, and his sideburns, kind of like he's trying to make them connect. Yeah, that's our guy.
great. Well, Jonnet places his hand on the crystal, and the crystal starts to flicker and then glow. And like the person behind the desk, like looks at it and goes, "Huh. Well, that's unusual."
It's I'm a Capricorn. That's it. It's what happens. Yeah, it's the reaction that we normally get. People don't really see it or like you think about it, but nah, that's me.
So what is being indicated to me is that biologically you are 17, but mentally you are 16. Does that make sense? Is there a reason that maybe it might say that?
And then Jonna is like full on, like hand on chest, like mouth agape. It's like, and what do people say when you say that to them normally? How do other people respond?
I'm going to be honest, sir. We don't normally say that to people. That isn't a normal reading to come through. Just so for then I've got two follow-up things. We are going to, on the disclosures section of the forms you fill out, if you are cursed in any way, you do have to tell us if you are under any curses before we do anything. The second is, do you have a parent or guardian with you? Because I am going to need them to sign off. Again, we can provide services for you. Your body is 17, but your mind... You can't. You're not capable of making this decision.
In the background, Orimar kind of puts a hand up while still filling in the rest of the form. The guardian would be me, in fact.
Oh, you are together.
Yes.
Are you here to stay, or are you working here? Or are you just passing through?
Oh, I think it would be a delightful breath of fresh air for us to spend a little bit of time here. We were in colder
You're so
climes.
Funny.
I do think I'm funny. Yes, Orimar entirely deciding to roll with the fact that he apparently successfully told a joke.
I'm funny.
I do consider myself a bit of a master of witticisms from time to time, it's true. But yes, Jonet Kessler is under my care.
Well, as long as you can fill out the forms, then we should be all set. We'll just need your guardian to sign for you, or your dad. Is this dad?
And then Jonet turns Jonet turns to the captain and then like jumps on the balls of his feet and like kind of just jumps up, runs over. Oh, Papa, please, please sign my form. Please, Papa, please, please.
And in like sotto voice says Orimar is like, yes, yes, of course, of course. In just in kind of like Jonet's ear. Douglas would be so mad.
And of course, last to approach the desk here.
Through the door clanging, sort of in a rush, I think everyone sort of walked ahead of them and they're catching up a little bit. Needing to bend down to come in is an extremely tall 7-foot figure. This person is dressed in a long kind of utility kilt that is that I think they picked up at the last pit stop that we did, that is meant to both hold some stuff but also give a little bit of freedom of movement because they're dressing pretty femme right now. On that is they are wearing a pretty regular shirt, and around their neck, there as they unwind to show their face, is a enormous blanket scarf that they use sort of as a multi-purpose piece of fabric, just as a shawl for, you know, all those cozy girl vibes. And mm-hmm. to the as we unwind the scarf, they reveal their face, the face of Gable. Gable is too secret to the viewer. They are an angel. They are covered in like the scars of some tattoos, but have faded over time. They've never really been able to keep one sticking around, except for on one shoulder is the markings of a gold and black sword that also looks feather-like. And their hair is towards shoulder length at this point. It is going black and gold at the temples with a little silver in between it. As it's been growing out, they haven't cut it at all, and so they just want to get it longer, but it is long enough now that they're trying out being a hairband person and it is not working out. So most of the time you get the hair out of their face, they're just going with them dumping their head in water and going for a very wet look, which is it was a
Gable walking around the ship like a professional wrestler. Yeah.
just looking always ready for a scrap, unable, no one can grasp onto them at any given point, but this was a huge mistake. They thought it was a lot warmer than it was, so they're coming in very cold. And and as they walk in, they sort of wrap themselves up and I think it's, are we, so you're done? Can we go?
My dear, I did say that you need to be dressing for the weather when we're traveling here.
This place is so red. it thought it was warm, and it turns out it's not, and I didn't look. It's, that's on me. That's my fault.
That's a mistake that a lot of visitors make. You shouldn't be embarrassed. A lot of people see red, and they assume warm, and it's not really here.
And I'm not saying I'm like a dog, that I only see a certain color and it reads a certain way. I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid. Hello, ma'am. I'm not stupid.
Okay. Not stupid and not a dog.
I'm not stupid.
That's important. It's important for us to know.
That's on the form. It's not
stupid. Gable's all grumpy.
Yeah. If you are a transformed animal in any way, you do have to disclose it.
That's not
good. We don't have to really worry about any of that. But a fun fact for you, my dear. I have emerged of the understanding that this particular shade of red is actually quite special. It's a copyrighted color, didn't you know?
Yes, that shade is only available for members of the Red Feather Syndicate. If you are an employee of the syndicate and you have the paperwork to prove it, you are eligible to get a tattoo with that shade of red feather crimson. But if not, then we have many other hues available. So are you red feathers? Privateers, perhaps? Or...
I've always aspired to that kind of life, you know, the living the high life.
Many do. Many do.
How pained is the smile on this receptionist when they say that?
Impossible to read. Uh-huh. You cannot tell if she is being pleasant or unpleasant to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like any medical staff, it exists somewhere in there, but it is unreadable to the human eye. Such is the wonder of a metaphysician.
It's funny how in this conversation we are both making outwardly pleasant but ultimately unreadable expressions at each other. In a who will blink first.
There are so many layers of artifice that sit between you.
Scarring.
But, you know, it's always nice to know about what's going on in the world. I consider myself somebody very interested in current affairs. But my dear, do sit, gesturing to Gable, but kind of intentionally not really using their name. Do sit, and are you also deciding on getting a tattoo, a souvenir?
Gable humps down next to... Jonnet and the captain, like,
and these chairs are too small for you.
No, I'm not gonna get anything.
Very well.
What are you getting?
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, I'm not going to get anything.
Very well.
What are you getting?
Me? Well, I'm a bit of a nostalgic gentleman, you know. There was a look I once had that might be worth reclaiming. And there's a meaningful look at you. And you know, I think you very, very immediately after we escaped the Forest Queen's Forest, and we took a moment to kind of take stock of ourselves, you first re-encountered the captain after that moment, realizing that his chest tattoo had gone missing.
Oh, yeah.
And the extreme distress that he was in of having lost something that was so symbolic of his previous history wiped clean, you know, after no longer being dead, which is rare for a person to go through.
Yeah. Orimar is like a man in his, you know, mid 50s mm-hmm. to maybe early 60s. I mean, we know mid 50s, mm-hmm. but right now, apart from his salt and pepper hair, he could easily be mistaken for somebody in his 30s or maybe even late 20s, as there is not a line on his face. There is not a scar on his body. He was recently reborn completely into a new version of his body. The only indications of his age are really his hair.
Mm. Mm. And most people would be pleased by that fact, to have having regained lost youth. But there are many machinations behind this man. And in some ways, it was a bit of an unusual setback. But first things first, before we can get back to plotting and planning and future goals, we need to reclaim a little bit of ourselves from the past. And that means redoing the chest tattoo he once had.
Gable recognizes what the captain is saying and sort of whispers, "That sounds like a 10-hour session. Did you bring snacks? Did you do you want like a numbing cream? You don't need to do it all in one day, too. You could do 2 days, 3 days. Be easier on you."
I think in almost a petulant, moody teen energy kind of takes Orimar for a fraction of a second. "I don't think I need any numbing gel at this point, just to feel something, truly."
Gable just like that made Gable like really sad. So they just sort of uh-huh. turn to John and like, "So what are you getting?"
So, well, I mean, I kind of wanted that. So he kind of delivers this to the group in kind of a more hushed tone, so mm-hmm. as not to alert the person behind the desk. But I kind of really wanted it. I wanted that red feather ring, you know. But I don't know. I was thinking about getting a gust of wind underneath the collarbone.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah.
And that's what you
want. You know, if I need to cover it up, then I can cover it up.
Yeah, it's your first time placement is just for you, and then you start moving outward on the limb.
Yeah.
You have to factor in those employabilities. Some places will not hire you if you have a visible tattoo. How could you possibly go and integrate yourself with a red feather ship as part of your internship if you had a visible tattoo, my child?
And
you're so smart, Papa.
We won't tell our partner about this. She'll throw an absolute fit.
Whatever is happening right now, I am angry and pissy, and those are two separate things. Whatever is happening, I want this to stop right now.
There's a there's a group of two guffaw.
Okay, well, whatever is happening here, I'm going to meet you back on the ship. Do you do septums? You do a little boop, boop, little right here, right around?
Oh, yes, yes, we do. You will have to fill out the form.
I've gotten lots. I don't need to. I'm fine. It's good.
Gable passes because they have to fill out a form.
Hey. Okay. I mean, you know, it's however you want to do it. As that is said, we see the curtains in the back, the white medical curtains move to the side, and we see, gosh, we see a woman step through. This is a black woman who is in I'm going to say like her 60s. She's older, but she stands like tall and straight. She's clearly someone who used to be a lot more athletic when she was younger. But like, you know how old people like kind of shrink into themselves. Mm-hmm. So she's like clearly had like this long past, but has settled into work that is less intense. She is wearing a white medical jacket that is a staple of a metaphysician. Mm-hmm. She has the metaphysician's like headband with like reflective lamp and a stethoscope around her neck. But she also has lots of tattoos. And these tattoos are gorgeous lines that, you know, I think it's art that like we might in our world called tribal, but it is like in no way recognizable as tribal art. Like it is very thin lines that almost like contour her face and limbs, and the ink is gold. We've established that like there are these gold and silver tattoo inks on Sphere. So she just has all of these thin lines that like run down her jaw and her neck. And she's also got lines on her hands, which sort of dance together in these beautiful, thin, intricate patterns all over her that like shine and reflect in the light. And she says like very brightly, like she smiles. She has impeccably like straight and aligned bright teeth that seem to like light up the room with her smile. She goes, welcome everyone to my shop. I am ready to take the first one of you back and get started. So who is going to be first?
Marvelous. I mean, I was, I'm so glad to have another deep-skinned tattoo artist here. There are so many white people that say tattooing dark skin is difficult.
We are going to take good care of you here. Good care of you here.
Marvelous.
You have my word.
My child, since you are so enthusiastic to have something simple done, why don't you go first? I have a feeling that mine might take a while.
Oh, Dad, Pa, Father, I don't...
No need to worry. We have more than one person on staff. If your tattoo is going to take longer, we might take you.
Okay, then.
John launches into, oh, Dad, Pa, Father, dearest, and then hears that. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, I'll take somebody. Yeah,
I suppose it's going to be age before beauty, then, Orimar says, getting up. And the moment like he steps up and steps away and is behind that curtain, and this kind of has a degree of, is it just him and her at that point?
Like, yeah, she'll lead you back. She's like, you know, smiling, and you can see as she is smiling there is tattoo work on her teeth themselves. Part of the reason that her smile is so bright is there are silver lines that are etched into the enamel on her teeth.
Sheesh. Cool.
Yeah. It's a very cool look. That is completely impossible in real life. But like, yeah, she is like joking and whatnot and brings you back into a room. There are these like little wooden hinged flags on each room. She like flips one up and opens the door for you inside. She goes, first things first, I need you to step on the scale. And she lays out some butcher paper over a chair.
I think that when generally they are out of earshot of other people, Alma is like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry.
Ha.
Oh my. I see we have someone who is ready to come out of his shell.
Well, you know how it is. You have to go and keep up public appearances, especially in places where you are maybe unfamiliar.
Don't worry here. You have doctor-patient confidentiality.
Oh, so I should hope. And Orimar goes through the process of getting ready for examination without complaint or fuss.
Yeah. Obviously she starts taking your vitals. She's getting that blood pressure. She's getting, your heart rate and all of that. As she is like, you know, talking to you, like, I have to say, when I first saw you, I went, now there is an interesting man. There is a man who has led an interesting life. You have the strength
of someone who works very hard. But I have to be honest, I see no sign of work on you.
What can I say? Black don't crack. I won't laugh like that again. It's fine.
Yes, but it does callus. It does crease.
Yes. Shall we just say that I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth and keep it at that?
I need to know if you're cursed.
I suppose some people would call him a curse, yes. No, I'm not cursed.
Say no more. If it's a him, I understand. And she like steps back and goes to grab some instruments. Now, what are we going to do for you today, Mr.? And she looks at the forms that you've written down. What is the pseudonym that Orimar is going to use?
Man, I am so dumb and did not spend time in advance to go and think. Because, hey, we're going to have to be lying for a while. And I should probably come up with a cool alternate name and did not spend the time to. So we are a Julian.
Julian.
Julian LaBlest.
LaBlest. All right.
Just French enough to be obnoxiously posh. Mm-hmm. You can call me Julian. It's fine. There is no soup to make you call me Julian, but I hope you would have the discretionary to do so.
I would sell it to you if you wanted, but not everything is necessary.
That might be considered, actually, Orimar says quite seriously. But for now, I am here for a tattoo appointment.
Eating the soup and getting a tattoo, they're similar commitments, so we will put that on the table, but we can examine it later. Hmm. Tell me what I'm doing for you today.
I am no illuminator or illustrator, but I did do a rough sketch of what I have in mind, and I trust you and your artistry to turn it into something truly great. And we get a piece of paper that is delicately but not well sketched with the tattoo that Orimar once had, a human heart over where his heart would be. Previously, it was a vine-like chain broken in three places. Now it is a spine-like chain broken in three places as an additional reminder of what he once was.
Oh, Mr. Julian, I can see it in the lines. There is a story behind this.
I've always been an enthusiast of stories that other people are excited to tell, but sometimes you need to leave a story and a good initial impression.
As she is talking to you, she has, like, there's this canvas next to her with this thin fabric that's stretched out, and she starts like using various sized brushes and inks that are next to her. She is like sketching out a outline of this pattern as she talks to you, and her hands and fingers move so much quicker than you feel a human being should be able to move. It's not quite like a printer line by line, but like the movements that she is making are just faster than like a person could possibly be. And they fall on that canvas so delicately. The ink does not bleed or stretch. And the canvas itself does not bounce. It is being touched with the perfect amount of pressure to transfer the pigments without causing any kind of disruption. And she does all of this as she chats with you casually.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be here for quite some time together. So if there is a story to tell and you would not mind sharing it, it would make the process easier.
Well, there was an interesting story I once heard about a griffin running festival in a city quite far away from here. Apparently this year was very interesting, although I can't claim to verify the truth of any of it. but it does make for an interesting tale to kill the time.
Mr. Julian, I will take any story from you. If it is a story to kill the time, that is fine too.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not just an artist. I am a metaphysician. And a tattoo from me can be a bit of treatment. If this heart weighs heavy upon yours, there are things that can be sorted through while we fill in the lines.
Well, if you'll allow me to be vulnerable for a moment.
Mr. Julian, I would love that very much.
I think Orimar does something that we've now seen him do, even as a fully reborn person a couple of times now. The divorce of the synchronicity of his soul from his body. And the body keeps talking, but the metaphysician, fully aware of how the soul operates, feels, you know, the impression that the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, look at you, Mr. Julian. And she, like, leans into you. She'll take out, like, some gold-framed glasses, one of them having affixed to it, like, one of those, like, lensing devices that doctors use to look close to you. Mm-hmm. And she'll actually, like, pull out another implement that, like, shines a light in your eye, and she'll look in both eyes and look mm-hmm. in your ears. I have never met anyone who could do that. That's good flexibility, especially at your age.
It helps in long board meetings. You understand?
I could be led to understand, yes.
Yes.
She smiles big again. The silver reflects over you, and there is something about the brightness of her face, the brightness of her smile. Mm. It does put you at ease in a way. And mm-hmm. there could be a guarded part of Orimar that is like, this is someone with magical power who might be using that power to try and put me at ease. But mm-hmm. I'll leave that up to you. It's just the instinct is to start to relax.
Because this leaves things at a very interesting state of play here. Because, you know, while in the first instance when we were refueling, Orimar specifically came to the space as himself, fully aware that a degree of subterfuge is going to be increasingly necessary to keep our presence low. I don't think Orimar knows the finer details of where we currently are, Sorrow's End, but knows enough from his previous history of being a member of the Red Feathers what the Red Feathers Red is and who can have it. And so even without the larger truths of this location, knows that being able to see so much of it in one place means something, that Red Feathers, if not are presently here, visit here frequently, and therefore subterfuge is now necessary. Here, however, with, you know, patient confidentiality, there is a degree to which the facade can be politely set aside in ways where both of us know what we have to be about here.
I'll remind you, Mr. Julian, my office is HIPAA compliant. If I were to take secrets that you have entrusted to me and give them out to the world, the HIPAA spirit would come for me in the night.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And what a bloody instance that would be. But I have some practice to maintain more than anything else. I'm sure the level of artifice is maybe unnecessary, but it is a good way for me to keep character. I will spare you the accent, though.
I do not wish to hold your secrets. What I wish is, when I make this mark upon you, mm-hmm. the story that it is connected to you, I wish you to be left with some amount of peace.
Of course.
And that does mean, if you are willing to share, when I place this heart upon yours, if you tell me
the tale behind it. And you can change the names, you can change the facts, however you wish. But if you tell me the truth of that story, behind the details, the real truth, I guarantee it will make a difference for you.
Of course. In a similar fashion to that one story in Acheron, which I have heard tangentially, another interesting tale, maybe a piece of gossip. Have you ever heard of somebody who died and came back?
I've heard legends, but I would love to hear a story.
Of course. And I think as it's like recounted, and maybe as the tattoo starts, we see Orimar sit within himself. What we've previously described as like an empty mansion made of like a greenish blue wireframe, the threads of a soul. And how they connect to the wider body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a mansion held up by a million spider threads. And I think as we see the tattoo needle move across Orimar's chest, it almost catches like you would see a thread catch in a sewing machine and start to pull the ghostly spider threads of green, blue. We see that move with the needle as it starts to tattoo the design into Orimar's chest.
Yeah, and I, you know, have to be clear about the needles used here. This is very much like
the stick and poke style. Which is why like you can physically see it move. Because obviously, if it was an automated one, it'd be moving far too quick for the eye to see. A story of a man who died and came back and has been motivated by many things, idealism, freedom, and once, twice, a handful of times, was motivated by love.
She smiles again and sits and listens as Orimar speaks. As eventually she wraps up like her design stretched out on the canvas and grabs at the ink and pulls it free from the canvas. It wispily sits in the air, resonating with the green glow of Orimar's ghostly soul. It gently flutters down onto Orimar's chest where it sticks, and then she begins the work of tattooing, using this delicate wooden needle to gently poke it in as though she is sewing this story to your flesh. And as she listens and hears, so do we. Scotty Jacks.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
We once again return to the long line of applicants in front of the Skyship Uhuru, hoping to audition to join to be a part of its crew. We see one person come off the line, approach the table with headshots and resumes.
This kid is like maybe 17 years old. His hair is like kind of greasy and down to his shoulders and like jet black, like maybe dyed. You're not 100% certain. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a shirt that is like maybe a size and a half too big. And he's got a lot of like chains on his tremendous big cargo pants, like just wallet chains that are only attached to other chains. It's just accessory chains in the way that Kingdom Hearts characters wear too many belts. He drops his headshots onto the counter, and they are also, you can tell, his senior photos.
Oh, wow.
Is there a senior quote with any of them?
Yeah. It says, oh, wait, hold on. Let me think of something really interesting.
Great.
And then that's what they used.
Didn't fix that.
Oh, you have a lot of different looks that you popped down and the quote didn't change. Did you not think of anything throughout the whole session?
I mean, I thought of stuff. Like some of the quotes I dropped were like really awesome, but I guess they like the yearbook people like kind of screwed it up.
Yeah.
Kind of a bit of an odd expression in all of those. Are you not one to enjoy being photographed? Because honestly, I'm not either, so I'd understand. But
what do you mean?
It's just, you know, you have this weird...
It's smile.
Like you're smelling like something. Or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's my smile. It's a normal smile.
Well, agree to disagree on that.
And your name is?
C-E-J.
C-E-J. So that's three letters?
C-E-J. Yeah.
C-E-J. All right. Excellent.
Is that abbreviation of something?
Yeah. I mean, my full name is Cody Ernst Jr., which is also short for Codifer Ernst Jr.
Wait, okay. What?
Okay.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, Codifer.
I prefer CEJ.
Fair. Oh, I'm sure you do. What brings you to, you want to be an Arana? You want to be up in the air with us? Yeah?
Not really.
okay.
Who played hard to get? I like this.
I don't
no
really
one's
like.
Ever said no right out the gate.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I guess it sounds cool or whatever, but like, I just mostly looking for like something to do that will take me away from my hometown for a little while.
Oh.
And someone recommended this, and they gave me a bunch of pamphlets and stuff, and I didn't read them. But I just, when you guys replied back, I was like, well, I guess I'll do this or whatever.
Mm. Oh, you gotta read the pamphlets. The captain here designed them himself.
Which one's the captain?
Jonnet points to the tall man with the trifold hat.
It's pretty much the big hat. You gotta look out for the person who's got the biggest hat.
Do we all get hats?
It's a bit of it's a tiering system. You know, you got to work your way up the ladder. We do have excellent like hat escalation opportunities as you spend more time aboard the Uhuru.
Okay.
You know, start 70% to the next hat.
I've got 2 points on my hat and I can't wait to get my third.
Okay, wait. So I start with like a 1 point hat?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beanie.
Yeah.
Point on top.
The beanie isn't even a point. That's just, it's a rounded top. Yeah. You got to work your way
like
up.
You haven't even earned a point.
Oh, you can see John, it just has a headband. That's just the band of the hat, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, I keep my 2 point hat in my bunk because it's so nice.
Your self-esteem issues are becoming pretty prominent to me. And would you say that is kind of the case? You're a lost soul looking for, you know, direction, guidance, perhaps a counselor for guidance, that sort of thing?
I mean, I have a therapist and it's a pair of people who are married. We're working through a lot of my stuff, actually. But I do have a lot of unique skills and experiences that I could bring to your little gang.
Excellent. Tell me more.
Yes, please. We'd love to know.
Well, I have died once.
You know what? Same.
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 Okay.
That's
big
huge
kind
for
of like firm handshake.
Isn't it wild that there is just nothing?
I mean, you know, it was kind of a whole like weird ghostly mansion I was in for a while. A lot of being chased by.
Oh, it was not like that for me.
I mean, you haven't lived until you've been out chased by the cutting stone is what I'm telling you. You haven't lived until you died.
Have you ever been eaten by a goonch? Because I have.
What's a goonch?
You don't have goonches here?
What's a goonch?
I'm going to love it on this shit. I'm always getting eaten by goonch.
That's a pretty frequent occurrence for you?
The plural for goonch is just goonch?
Yeah, it depends on what time period you're in. By the way, I spent some time in Constantinople, like the old one before.
Oh, you mean Istanbul?
No, like back when it was Constantinople.
Oh, okay.
Brokered a peace between Byzantium and the Turks. So.
Oh, congratulations.
So a negotiator.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. My people skills, I would say, are like my top quality.
Are you smiling right now?
Smiling with yes.
Yeah. I've been smiling this whole time, and I pushed John it.
Whoa! That had some kick to it. All right.
You gotta respect that.
Now I have an idea of how to settle this. It's only on the streets, on the downhill.
Oh no.
You want us to race? I immediately pull a folded up Razor scooter out of my little backpack.
Jonnet draws a knife. Whoa, what is that?
Wait.
And I want one. What is it?
Wait, you guys are allowed to have weapons?
Yeah.
That's actually kind of a requirement.
That's awesome. I love weapons. We only fight monsters with like our wits, and I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah, that sounds exhausting.
That sounds like a bad way to fight a monster. A monster's going to be fighting you with teeth and claws,
magic,
and dark magics.
That's what I've been saying for like three seasons.
Well, you got it. Hey, all right. You know what? This guy, he says. He at least thinks of himself as some kind of negotiator. He's got some muscle to him, and he's trying to get his hands on a weapon. Jonnet tosses him the knife.
It just goes straight into the palm.
Well, all right. We used to have a medic, and we've kind of been taking quite a while to replace him.
We just hired a new one.
Oh, that's true. We did.
No time.
It's common about.
Gable takes a second knife to try and get the first knife out. Is this really in there? I'm so sorry.
I can see it from both sides.
All right, hang on, kid.
Uncomfortably familiar territory for me.
So I have to ask, is that better or worse than a gooch, whatever that is?
It's better. If this is the peak of the dangers, then I'm good.
I wouldn't say peak. It's a peak into the danger.
I think I'm getting a little woozy. Can one of you rip your shirt up and use it as a bandage or something?
Yeah.
I mean, we're all pretty used to that. Immediately, like a display of just people elaborately tearing their shirts off, oiled and muscled.
Wow. The idea that they would use their own shirts instead of forcing me to use my own shirt is like, my eyes are so big.
Hey.
Your standards are
lip quivering.
Low. How about this? I'm down to throw this guy a thumbs up. He seems like he's got a lot of spark in his eye, big dreams, and he's trying to get away from, you know, a bad environment that he doesn't want to be in, and I kind of identify with that.
I've always wanted to compete a little bit with those Audrin ships in terms of looking after plucky teens and that. So
it would be nice to have a child aboard the ship that's not classified as a prisoner.
I should have asked this, I guess. So you guys are like kid traffickers or something?
Well, they're classified as prisoners for tax purposes. It's a whole thing.
It's like an internship thing in piracy, basically. Yeah. We train you to be a pirate, and then you send out into the next port.
To port and teach them a trade so that they don't starve to death on the streets. But for tax purposes, they are prisoners. And so if the IRS comes around, you have to tell them they're prisoners. I hate to tell you, it doesn't matter what we say, yes or no, because, you know, he got hit during the interview. That's an immediate pass onto the ship if he wants it. It's like taking a base.
I shouldn't have thrown that.
You shouldn't throw a knife.
You shouldn't throw a knife
in an interview.
Okay. All right.
Hey.
All right. Put her there.
That's a deal.
Ow. We shake hands.
The knife in the hand. Yeah.
Perfect scene.
Campaign Skyjacks is a One-Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter over @CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more. You can find more great gaming shows over at oneshotpodcast.com. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler A. Dave. Tyler is on strike alongside his fellow members of the WGA and SAG-AFTRA. You can support Tyler and other striking artists by contributing to the Entertainment Community Fund, linked in our show notes. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @LizAnderson_... or on her podcast, Paired. Captain Oromar Vale was played by Nathan Blades, who can be found on Twitter at @PhantomArtsENT. Or streaming at twitch.tv/TheNeonCaster. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG or on my podcast, OneShot. The original music featured in this podcast was written, composed, and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find him over on Twitter at Arnie Parrott or on his website, ATP Tunes. This episode was edited by Ali Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at @DreamsToBecome, or on her podcast, Skyjack's Courier's Call. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at @Lunarum. The World of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and Illimat, produced by Together Studios. This show was made in part by using a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system, designed by Sam Stewart and a team of talented professionals. There are no kings. Take flight.
Health to the strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.